Exciting to be here on a Sunday morning. How many of us had a hard week? Few of us had a hard week. Despite that, you all chose to be here. And I hope that by the end of the service, you will feel that you made the right choice by coming here this morning. Any idea what we've been talking on over the past few weeks from the beginning of 2017? Yeah, we've been talking about our values. So to define something, to define a person, to define an entity, an organization, you need to have something called values. Something you stand for, something you fiercely guard, you're not willing to let go. So values, as New City, we have three of them. For the past 2 weeks, we've been speaking on the first one, which most of y'all were there, being gospel-centered. And if you missed the talks, they were by Anand. They're on the website, so you can go and check them out at newcitymumbai.com. What we'll be talking about today is missional community. We are a missional community. So these are the values, these are the core values. This is how we define ourselves as a church. We are a gospel-centered, missional community that loves the city. We finished gospel-centered, we are now at missional community. And Anand will take you through the second part of it next week, and then we'll finish loves the city later on in February. So, most of the Christians, at least for me, one big task or one thing that is really hard for me is to go out there, be vocal and say, hey, I believe in Jesus and this is my faith. How many of us relate to that? So following a great motivational talk on lifestyle evangelism, there's this family who thought, you know, we better do something to witness to Jesus. So the following Friday, they decide to invite their friends, their neighbors over for dinner. And the neighbors come over. Right before the dinner, the hostess, which is the lady of the house, thought we should display good Christian values. We should show them that we upheld good Christian values. So she asks 5-year-old little Johnny to say grace. If you're wondering what grace is, these little prayers that we say before our meals. Right? So she asks little Johnny to say grace. And little Johnny is a little, he doesn't know what to say. And he looks at his mom and he says, I don't know what to say. And that is followed by a very reassuring smile by the mother. And she says, just say what daddy said in the morning today over breakfast. And then very obediently, he says, oh God, we've got these awful people coming over for dinner tonight. So, missions. Being vocal about our faith, telling our friends, those who don't share the same faith, can be challenging. And if there are a list of things Christians, followers of Jesus, are guilty about, not being missional enough will feature in the top 5. Do you agree with me? I have a confession to make. I am literally scared of these terms, missions and evangelism. Growing up in a Christian family, growing up in a church environment, these two have been such scary words. Go out there, speak about Jesus, tell your friends. You know, when you go to school, tell your friends about. I can't do it. I mean, these things scare me. So how do we define being missional? How do we define being missional? We'll go into that, but let's just move on quickly to the passage for the evening, the morning. Can you open our Bibles to John chapter 17? And this is part of the New Testament, the part which comes after Jesus was born. If you don't have your Bibles, we have it up on the screen. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about his then followers. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and loved me, and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Allow me to say grace before we begin. Father, thank you for sending your son to die for me. Jesus, thank you for obeying your Father. Holy Spirit, thank you because you're right now in the process of applying that to my heart. I pray that you will speak to all of us, meet us at our various points of need, and that your gospel will be renewed in us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So how do we as New City define our values? So we got these cards, the value cards, if one of us can just pass it around. We define missional community like this. We work together with a great purpose in loving outsiders as much as we love each other. We work together with a great purpose in loving outsiders as much as we love each other. If you're considering, if you're wondering what these terms outsider and insider means, it is very simple. It's a no-brainer. If you know us, if you've been engaging with us as a community, then you are an outsider. People who have no clue about what New City is, or even if they know, they are indifferent to it, they would be outsiders. So if you're saying, you're judging people by saying outsiders, insiders, I think you'll agree with this definition that I'm being fair in saying people who have no clue about New City, we can term them as outsiders. So we worked together with a great purpose in loving outsiders as much as we love each other. I'll divide my talk this morning into three parts. The first part is being missional is a community project. The second part is the purpose of the community, and I'll close by talking about the ultimate motivation for mission. Being missional is a community project. I have another confession to make. I've never seen being missional as a community project. From where do I establish this? Let's look at Jesus. That's what we always do every Sunday. We look at Jesus, see from his life, and see what he's done for us. More than half of Jesus' life was spent in being missional. And right at the beginning of his work on earth, the Bible records that he was walking along the beach. Jesus loved beaches. He did a lot of things by the beach. He was walking by the beach, and he finds these three fishermen who he wants on his team, right? And he says to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The first thought that comes to our mind when we hear this word fishing is definitely fishing for compliments. But fishing for us in our context, what we think is we have this one guy going by the lake, relaxing with his fishing rod and spending some good time there. That's the kind of idea that we have about fishing in the present day. This translates into these two kind of people who try to be missional. The first guy is the guy who always misfires. If you're wondering, every time I talk about firing and all of that. This guy is the guy who always misfires. Regardless of whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, I'm pretty sure all of us have come across these kind of people. I'll tell you about my own experience. I was traveling in a cab in Bombay a few months back with this foreigner. Yes, with this foreigner who is always very, very passionate about telling people, no matter who they are, about Jesus. And I'm sitting along with him. This cabbie, a Kali Pili guy, not even an Uber guy, a Kali Pili guy picked us up. He sits in the cab and he's very excited to tell him. The sad part is the Kali Pili guy doesn't understand English. And this guy knows just enough Hindi to tell him what he knows. So he's got these recited lines. And the conversation as I sit next to him and the cab guy in front of me goes somewhat like this. Aap Yeshu ke baare mein jante ho? And that guy goes like, nahi sab, nahi janta. Intimidated by the foreigner, the foreigner asks him, kya main aapko bata sakta hoon? And that guy gives in. He's almost like, haan sab, bolo. And the first thing he says is, hum sab papi hai. And that guy was taken aback. He's like, kyun sab, main papi nahi hoon. The sad part is, this foreigner didn't know enough Hindi to understand what he said. And he went on to finish his recital, and a visibly disgusted cabbie just put up with him. And if one of us sitting here have experienced this, we really do apologize as a community for people like this. We really do. So this is one guy, the guy who misfires. The type two, the second kind of guy, is the lone ranger. This guy is always thinking about, how can I talk to people about Christ? I need to tell them about Jesus. You know, he consistently pursues these few people that he wants them to know. And there is a place for this. We wouldn't say there's no place for this. But what he does is, he makes that friendship alone, tries and creates that context to talk about Jesus alone. And then he shares his faith alone. And when that person doesn't respond in the way he would like them to respond, he succumbs to that guilt alone. While some people are gifted in this, I definitely am not. And I personally struggle. I've been staying at the YMCA for the past 4 months. And I've succumbed to this guilt, and I want to tell you my experience. For the past 4 months, I've always been wondering, I want to take at least one guy to church. Yeah, I mean, I need to take at least one guy to church, and I've failed. I don't want to force people. That is not what we do. That is not what we stand for. While being there, there's this other guy who's from another church who forces very visibly disinterested people to come to church. He goes to the extent of telling them, what are you doing tomorrow morning on a Saturday night? And that guy goes like, I'm not sure, bro. He goes like, come to church with me, no? And he's like, I have some plans in the morning. Oh, what time? 10:30. It's okay, postpone them. That guy is almost like, bro. So I'm at the YMCA, being a pastor myself, as they call me at the YMCA. My friend Ritesh is here, my roommate. I am not able to do this, you know? And I definitely don't want to force people to church. That's the last thing I would ever do. And I personally struggled with this. But this is where community comes in. This is where the whole thing about being missional, a community project comes in. Let's look back at the verse. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What we do need to observe here is these guys are professional fishermen. They did it as their livelihood. They didn't do it out of hobby. They went out in teams. They brought the catch in teams. Living in coastal cities, I've literally seen people, fishermen, going out as their job, going out as teams and bringing in huge catches as teams. So these are professional fishermen who did it for their livelihood. It is in this context where people went out in teams and brought the catch in teams that Jesus gives his first ever call to be missional. You know, it is very interesting to see Jesus didn't begin his mission on earth before he formed a community. he formed a community of his followers, and then he gave them a mission. Jesus, being God himself, never engaged in mission in isolation. Starting from his very first sermon on the Mount, which is very famous, he talks to a lot of people. It had his disciples there. Wherever he went to preach, to talk to people, to tell them about the good news, he went with his disciples. Jesus, being God himself, never engaged in mission in isolation. Here in New City, we value this. This is probably one of the most important values. And most of us know this guy called Purnet. He's a good friend of ours. He's not here today. He texted me saying that he's not able to make it. He's a very good example. You know where we met Purnet? We didn't meet him here first at 20 Downtown. It was at this gig at Tuning Fork where our friends Brian, Asher were performing. And it is that place where we met him outside at Tuning Fork. He met Brian, he met Asher, and he wanted to meet more like-minded people. So he got in touch with them. And Brian said, go to Sunday morning, to go to 20 Downtown Sunday morning and meet Felix and Saurabh. So he comes on a Sunday morning. That's what he does. And not just me and Saurabh, but the whole community was there, making him feel at home. And right now, he's a major part of who we are as a community. And if you're new here today, he would be the first person to walk up to you and make you feel at home. The whole community gets involved in being missional, and this is what we cherish. This is our value. In fact, if you're wondering what this new thing called New City Collective is all about, New City Collective is this initiative where we want to engage with these influential artists and professionals outside, bless them with this gift of music that we have, and gift it out to the city. That's all New City Collective is all about. Now, when I think about all of this, I don't need to feel guilty. I don't need to feel guilty. Allow me to digress a little and talk to the those of us who are followers of Jesus this morning. If you relate with me in feeling guilty about not being missional enough, and all the sermons and these talks that we've heard just made us try harder and fail harder and made us all guilty, let me respectfully submit that we've been trying to be missional in a very legalistic way. What the gospel does is not put guilt inside you. It won't guilt trip you. It'll convict you, bring you to repentance and faith. In fact, this whole thing about being missional is a community project flows out of the gospel. Way back in time, way back before time, there was this community called the Trinity, which was the first ever missional community. This community consisted of the Father God, Jesus' Son, and the Holy Spirit, who were perfectly fulfilled with each other. They were always perfectly fulfilled with each other, but yet found this need to look at us, lost, messed up people, and say, we want these guys. Out of their abundance of love for us, they've reached out to us. In fact, these two words, mission and community, missional community, cannot exist in isolation. Just community will never be fruitful and grow. We will form our own comfortable groups, consume of each other, be happy with each other, and that will fizzle out and fade out. And mission without community, we've seen, is a dead end in itself. it'll kill you. That pressure will guilt trip you and it'll kill you. Therefore, I'd like to submit that being missional is a community project. The second point I would like to bring forth is the purpose of the community. Let's dig in to the passage for the day. My prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about his then followers. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. What is this unity that Jesus is talking about? What is this depth of unity that he wants this community to pursue? It's actually a little scary. He's asking us to be as united as Jesus is in his Father and his Father is in him. Let's talk about our community for a while. How many Tamilians do we have in the house today? Hi, Aditi. Good to see you after ages. How many Kannadas do we have in the house today? Kannadigas do we have in the house today? Yeah? Couple of them. How many Marathis do we have in the house today? How many Punjabis do we have in the house today? that's Ruchi. And then there are a few of us. How many Malus do we have in the house today? I'm sorry. You form a very important part of India and the world. And then there are a few of us who are mixed breeds. We have roots in various states. Taru will relate to me. To just think of these kind of different people, not just geography, leave alone geography. How many, just professionally, how many lawyers do we have in the house today? Yeah, we have a few lawyers. How many musicians do we have in the house today? How many IT professionals do we have in the house today? We've got a few architects. Yes, how many media people do we have in the house today? Yeah? So even professionally, we are all so different. Our political views are different. Sitting in this very hall today are some of us who voted for Rahul Gandhi and some of us who voted for Modi. Politically, our views are so different. In terms of fashion and dressing, we are all so different. And Jesus is looking at this community, this kind of community, and says, let them be as united as we both are, Father. You are in me and I am in you. Is that even possible? Let's look at Jesus' community. When he was here on earth, he formed this close group of 12 people. And in that group of people, he had this one guy called Simon, who belonged to this political party called Zealot, who thought it was a treason against God to pay taxes to Rome. Yeah? And it deserved death penalty if you paid taxes to Rome. He belonged to a political party with that view. And in the same community that Jesus formed was this guy called Matthew, who was a tax collector. How would that look like? It's almost like in the present day context, we walk into this community and we see Arvind Kejriwal and Modi ji sipping beer together. That would be weird. And Jesus is talking about unity when in his own community he had such different people. Is this even possible? Is this too much of an ask? What is this unity that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about the unity in purpose. Every community has a purpose. Let me try and illustrate this for you. I've taken my good friend Tarika's help for this. I'm not a huge fan, or I've not seen the Lord of the Rings. How many Lord of the Rings fans do we have? Yeah? If you've seen the movie, especially The Fellowship of the Ring, you see how they form this fellowship to protect and help this hobbit called Frodo destroy the ring. And who constituted this fellowship? There was a wizard, an elf, a dwarf, two humans, and four hobbits. How different are they? An elf, a wizard, hobbits, humans. All of them were working together for one purpose. And that purpose was to protect and help Frodo. We can all be strikingly different. And we know how different we are from each other. The only thing that unites us is the purpose. So what is this purpose? Let's look from verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. He's giving a purpose there, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That's almost like saying that the world may know that Jesus, an insider to that community, was sent by his Father, and because of his death on the cross, the Father can love us outsiders the same way that he loves Jesus and make us messed up people, insiders to this community. That the Father sent his Son Jesus, an insider, on a mission for us to show that the Father loves us just the way he loves Jesus. That is the purpose. You see, all of us need a community. We all need a community. But the thing is, the community is not just for us. All of us need a community, but the community is not just for us. As Anand quite famously says, the purpose the church exists for is for the benefit of its future members. People who have no clue about what and who New City is. Yes, it is perfectly fine to hang out together as a community, but that is not the only purpose. That is not the only purpose. In our sinfulness, by our human nature, it is very, very easy for us to form our close group of friends, have a world in ourselves, not care about what's happening outside. In this sinful state, what is that thing that can help us keep focused on this purpose that we meet as a community? What is that one thing? That takes me to my third point, the ultimate motivation for mission. I know many of us sitting here are not followers of Jesus. And some of the questions that people have asked me is, why are these Christians always out there to talk about Jesus? Why do they need to be on a mission? Why can't they just let the world be? Who is this Jesus? I mean, is he even worth knowing about, leave alone worship and all of that? Is he even worth knowing about? Why are these Christians always like this? Why can't they just let the world be? Even as I try and answer those questions, I want us, those who are followers of Jesus, to rethink why we do what we do. In this passage, Jesus prays, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. He says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And then he also prays in verse 22 from the same passage, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. What is this glory that Jesus is talking about? And it's important for us to see. I'll divide this into three parts. The glory before the formation. The glory before the formation of this world. Jesus was alive even before he was born. He is God. He existed in all of eternity, way before the world was created. You see, God knew that we as human beings would sin and we would die. He knew it even before making us. The best part about him is he doesn't control our actions. He is not an autocratic God and he lets us be. He gives us that free will. And he knew that we would sin. That is when this Trinity, this community, the first ever missional community came together, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and said, you know what? We should do something. We should do something. They decided that God will go on a mission for us. That Jesus, being the King of all heaven, leaving the comforts of heaven, would go down on a mission for us. That he would put on flesh and walk down, walk on this earth. He then comes to earth. You know how he was introduced to the people? By this guy called John. He says, look, look, the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. He's not talking about the lamb we see in our farms. In those days, these people used to go to the temple every year, offer lambs as sacrifice for their sin to appease God. They would kill lambs as a sacrifice. And Jesus, looking at that, would say, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. I remember signing up for this. That's going to be me. The glory that was there before the formation of the world was the glory that was forfeited. Dangling on that cross for you and me, with the weight of your sin and mine on his shoulder, he cries, my Father, why have you forsaken me? You know why? You know why? Because the holy God, leave alone tolerates sin, he can't even look at sin. And your sin and mine was on Jesus, the Lamb. And the Father turned his eyes away from his own Son. Jesus was stripped of his glory. He was stripped of that glory on that cross. His wrath was poured. The Father's wrath on sin was poured out on full on Jesus. You know why? So that that very glory could be freely given. Because he lost his glory on the cross, it could be freely given to us. You see, Jesus' perfect track record was gifted to you and me. Messed up people. He was punished so that our sins could be taken away. Since His glory is given, my shame is now removed, my sin paid for. His righteousness has been gifted to me. And I've been gifted the sonship. You see, the Father crowns the murderers of His Son with His glory and calls them sons and daughters. The Father crowns the murderers of His Son, you and I, with glory, calls us sons and daughters. This is the Jesus that we are talking about. The good news that He has done for us, it cannot be contained inside of us. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, if we've been trying to do mission because it's a good cause, it's a good thing, you know God will be happy. It makes me feel better. It's a good cause. It's a noble cause. When we fail, this good cause, this noble cause is not going to forgive you. It's definitely not going to call you back. It is Jesus who died for you and me who will forgive you and I and call us back on His mission. It is this Jesus that we're talking about. He is our ultimate motivation for mission. You see, being part of a community, being missional as a community, points us away from the guilt to the glory that we have in Jesus. It points us away from that guilt. And this is why we guard this value so closely. Missions is a community project. We are all in this together. You see, as sinful beings, we all like to be lone rangers. I like to be a lone ranger, take all the credit for myself. When we do that and fail miserably, mission is not going to forgive you. Jesus will. And that is why we are on a mission. We are on a mission because even before we could even care about Jesus, He stepped down and died for you and me. That is why we are on a mission. He died for people who don't care about Him. That is exactly why we are on a mission. Jesus, being God Himself, I'll be very careful when I say this. Jesus, being God Himself, was not a lone ranger. The whole Trinity was involved. The Father sent, the Son executed. Now the Holy Spirit applies what Jesus did on for us. If what Jesus did, it is true, it happened in history. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it would have been an amazing act of history, which we would look at. It would be another martyr who died for a good cause. But because of the Holy Spirit who applies that to the daily things of life, that we are here today enjoying this gospel. Jesus was not a lone ranger. The whole Trinity was involved. It is a community project. Even as I call upon the band, let's rethink why we are on a mission. And those of us who are not yet followers of Jesus, we celebrate you this morning. Because we were at your place. We didn't care about Jesus. And He made a decision to die for totally undeserving people like you and me. let not this guilt of having to be on mission get the better of us. In the heart of being missional as a community, there is the glory that Jesus lost, which was gifted for us. And let that glory bring in the joy of being missional as a community.